Okay, so I was thinking about this. Again, I'm going to play this out with you because it's still bothering me, this donkey thing. So I was playing it out in my head a bit more. Now, it turns out that there's a second obsession with animals in these parshiot. Not just donkeys. And the other one is, yeah, the normal obsession in Bereishit, which is stone. But I was thinking about it in the car this morning, and it's actually quite striking, because every time, right, we noted there's these chamor obsessions, right, we're going to take the chamor from us, we're going to be slaves, the chamors will be captured, the chamor is what carries people to and from Mitzrayim. But in this week's parsha especially, Tzon is front and center in a very particular way. Right, how does it come across in Vayigash?
They bring their tzon down. That's
right. So even more than that, they don't just bring down their tzon. What is tzon in this week's parsha?
It's the ivory thing.
Yeah, meaning it is the means by which Yosef ensures that his brothers will not integrate into Mitzri society. Right? He tells them, "Listen, what I want you to do is I want you to tell Paro
that you're shepherds.
That you are, yeah, v'amartem." Right here, I'll go back. Lamed bet. This is mem vav lamed bet. V'anashim roetzon ki anshe mikne ayu v'tzonam v'koram v'chol asher lahem hefiyu v'aya ki kra lachem paro v'amar ma'amazechem. When Paro asks you, what are you doing? V'amartem anshe mikne ayu avadecha minurenu v'ata gam anachnu gam avtenu b'avur teshvu be'eretz goshen ki tovat Mitzrayim kol roetzon. I want you to tell him that you are shepherds of sheep because they hate shepherds. Because it is an abomination to them. Right? It is an abomination. I want you to tell them that you are shepherds so that you will live in Goshen, so they will do everything in their power to make sure you are away, far away from everybody else. So the first thing that is striking to me is the fact that so much of this story, there are these markers which are animals, which right off the bat is very strange. Right? That's just weird. Right? Meaning from the beginning to the end, like chamor is like central, tzon is central, identity is wrapped up in these animals. But it hit me that the midrashim are very attuned to not just the fact that one of these animals is there, but both of them are there. And if you want to understand where the Midrashim get it from, right, this is a good starting point. Because as I said, the two animals that are central here are Chamor and Tzon. Where else are Chamor and Tzon central? And I want you to sort of, I want to reconstruct a Midrash. That's really what I want to do.
By doing lifestyle?
No, in Torah, come on. Pidyon Peter Chamor.
Sure.
How do you redeem the Chamor?
Break its neck.
No! Tzon. That's if you don't redeem it.
Yeah.
Then, with its own. Right? Tifteh v'seh.
I don't know.
V'imlo tifteh v'arafto.
Right.
Right? Meaning the redemption is with a seh. Which means that the Torah itself, in that parsha that is swallowed up at the end of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right, in an inexplicable way, that you should redeem the firstborn only of the chamor, and when you redeem the firstborn chamor, you redeem it with
a seh.
Right? If I were Chazal and I thought midrashically, and I said, "Wait a second, the entire Yosef story, all the brothers getting down to Mitzrayim, there's an obsession of chamor and of seh. Seh represents Judaism. That we know. We know that, because Yosef says that. Right? This is what makes us different. And where does that manifest itself in the Mitzrayim story?
The Jews took out the flocks.
Thank you, the Carbon Pesach. Yes. We take their god and we slaughter it. This is, if you needed a better indication, that Seh represents what makes Jews different from the Mitzrayim, Seh is it. Then we have this bizarre obsession with chamor, and then this weird halacha that closes off the parsha that you redeem a chamor with a seh. If you were Chazal and you thought midrashically, and you wanted to answer everything, what would you do? What would you do? And again, I want you to understand how Midrash works sometimes, right? What would you do with all these pieces of evidence? What is the last question you have to ask? Why Chamor? And what is your answer going to be? Inexplicably, but this is what the evidence is going to lead you to. What is it? What is it going to tell you?
What is Chamor?
So let me read you a Rashi. Rashi says, Peter Chamor, Ugzerda Katovhi. So the second shot was what we said yesterday, was that this is how the Jews got out. But the first one, and if you, and again, I want you to understand how you what the Midrash is building, because otherwise it's very odd. Lefi Shinim Shelu Bechorei Mitzrayim Lechamorim. Because the firstborns of Egypt are metaphorically like donkeys. That is all he says. He's quoting from a Midrash. Where in God's name does the Midrash get this notion? Right? I mean, I think it's pretty clear. What is driving the Midrash is that there are two animals that come up over and over in this story. Se, we know, represents Jews. Chamor takes the Jews down to Egypt and takes them out of Egypt.
Right.
And you redeem the Chamor with a Se. So if the Seh is the Jews, and you redeem the Seh with the Chamor with the Seh, then this mitzvah must be symbolically about taking the Egyptian out of the Jew or something like that, right? Or something along those lines. But that has to be what's driving, right? What's driving the Midrash, right? That they just see, like in the long term, that these two themes come up over and over until they come to this halachic expression at the end where you can, that part of Yetziyat Mitzrayim is redeeming Chamor for a Seh. Right, which is completely inexplicable. Now, is that all that there is to it? It could be, and I don't know if this helps me, but I'm pretty sure this is where the Midrash got it from. Right? Good. Now what? Now what do you do with this? What does it even mean? Is there any indication beyond this? Is there any sense to what I just said, or is it just noting? I mean, again, I think this is what the Midrash did.
Yeah.
Right? I'm pretty sure this is how the Midrash got to this point. But what does it mean? Right? We don't just stop there. Like, what I just said is merely descriptive.
Right.
It doesn't help me. So I was like skimming around, and I'm still skimming around, but I think it, at least one possibility is this next word, which is v'im lo tivdeh v'arafto. Right? If you don't redeem it, you have to kill it from the back of the neck. Now, what is oref in Tanakh?
The stubbornness.
Yeah, stubbornness. Now, who is stubborn in Tanakh? And this is the interesting point. Ah, so there's really two people. There are two who are stubborn. The Jews are Amkei Oref. Who else?
God.
Paro. Thank you. Because Paro refuses to send the Jews. Because Paro refuses to send the Jews out. Right? And bringing that into the discussion indicates that this quality of stubbornness manifests itself in Mitzrayim, lira'a, and when it comes to the Jews, well, sometimes lira'a and sometimes l'tova, but it defines us one way or the other, right? Presumably, that's also part of this story, which is that, now, if you look in more mystical sources, they will definitely get into the notion that, no, you know why this is all true? Because chamor is chomer, is materialism, right? That's, like, you look at all the Kabbalistic sources, this is what they are obsessed with. That the reason this is all true is because Mitzrayim is materialism, and we are not Chamor, right? We are not. And coming back to the Yosef story, presumably every time you talk about Chamor, it's about the food, right? Meaning, there's the Jews and their Chamorim, right? Again, you look at these sources who build on Midrash, where else do they see this emphasis of Chamor versus Seh? The Akedah. Because in the Akedah, the people who don't go to the Akedah, where do they stay? Shvulachem poem achamor, and the Midrash says amadom lechamor, right? And what Yitzchak is replaced with a seh,
right?
Which means again, those who don't come to the Akedah Sorry, with an Ayal, technically, yeah. Right? Which is the same species.
Doesn't he ask
right?
where the
says? Yes, he says, Ayal Yasel Allah, and Hashem says, Hashem Yasel Allah. Now, it turns out an Ayal, which is a male of the same species.
Yeah.
But the point is that those who don't deserve to come to the Akedah are the Chamorim. Those who do come are the Seh. Right? This, it is undeniable that if you're thinking midrashically, this type of notion that the Jews are Seh and that the non-Jews are Chamor-like, right? And that is part of the story. It is undeniable that this theme is running through it. What it means, I'm not sure. Again, you look at some of these Kabbalistic sources, it's about Chomer, it's about materialism, and we're not material. How does that play into the story? So you could say it indicates the brothers are being materialistic. Or the brothers have materialism, but they are not material, right? They need to take food from Mitzrayim, but they are not Mitzrayim. Right? Or, right, you could take this in any number of directions. You can focus on this Oref thing, that they're stubborn, that Mitzrayim is stubborn, and we try to take the stubbornness out of ourselves or use it in the proper way, but sometimes we don't succeed. Right? You can come up with all types of midrashic explanations. And I have definitely not exhausted all the possibilities, because midrash, you can go forever. What I wanted to do today was just try to think like the Midrash, right? And it's clear to me that the Midrash is doing this, right? Otherwise, where do they get this notion that Mitzrayim is the Chamor, right? Or specifically the Bechor of them, right? Presumably, they don't mean just any Bechor. They mean like the Bechor, meaning Paro, right? Paro HaYoshev El Kiso, right, is Chamor-like. Again, I don't think it fully answers the question, and I'm not very good necessarily at... I should say it differently. Once we start thinking midrashically and homiletically, I'm never quite sure what to do with it and what the control are in terms of what is grounded in pshat and what is not. I'm never quite sure. But the fact that even midrashim that sometimes seem wild and it's hard to pin down what they want, that they are based in phenomenon in pshat that are often, in this case, hard to explain and therefore you're struggling for something, they are based in that. And the challenge is to figure out what to do with it. You can come up with more or less compelling pshatim, but the fact that it requires sensitivity to notice it and that it requires explanation is inescapable. So again, I only have the beginnings of thoughts on it. I'll let it percolate through, because this theme will come up through Parshat Bo. We have a few weeks to really let it. But the fact that, again, the Seh consistently represents the Jews and the Chamor doesn't, right, and how that plays out and why Chamor becomes central in the Yosef stories anyways, right, and how that plays out and why the Seh redeems the Chamor, right, these are the types of questions that Midrashim are going to think about.
Dina, the person who raped Dina.
Correct.
Was
Chamor.
Yeah.
Correct. You do have these, when you're thinking midrashically, right, that's the type of thing that would be the type of thing that would jump out at you. Is that, right, is that Chamor is... Correct. That's the type of thing I would think at. Again, do I have conclusive thoughts on it? No. I've thrown out some ideas.
Right.
But the phenomenon that the Midrash is playing on, I think, is something that requires explanation. I know what the Midrash is doing and why it's doing it. I just am not sure what it means. Right? But again, the first steps, and since we learn Parsha every day, we have time to think about it. But think about it. Let it percolate. Is to notice the type of thing Midrashim are noticing and then figure out what to do with it. Okay?